We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction. Starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. It all starts right here, right now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Alarmingly close to pitchers and catchers reporting. Frighteningly, crazily close. What, Tuesday, Bruce Levine?
That's it for the Chicago Cubs. Wednesday for the Chicago White Sox. It is officially baseball season this week, as you said, Matt Spiegel.
Hot damn! I know you are headed out to Arizona on Monday, and we'll be out there for a while. I and so many others from the Score will be out there in early March, and the team's coming. It should be very, very interesting, and we're looking forward to talking to listeners today about spring training.
Absolutely, and we are always listener-friendly here at 312-644-6767. Text Matt at 670-11. He'll read all the ones that are nice to him, and he'll hide the ones from me so I don't get angry. And we're also going to talk a little bit about still this Mookie Betts trade that is not made yet, this huge trade that is still held up, and as well as A.J. Hinch interviewing with Tom Verducci of MLB Network yesterday, and the some of the interesting takes on A.J. Hinch admitting that there was sign-stealing going on, wrongdoing going on, and that he wasn't in support of it. All of that here, part of our hour and 45 minutes. We're a little short with you today till 10:45, then DePaul basketball.
And a couple of guests in the second hour looking forward to. Cole Wright, who is going to be one of the hosts on Marquee on the Cubs Network, a guy who grew up in Joliet, grew up a Cubs fan, gets to come back to the Chicago area and be part of things over at Marquee. We'll get to know him a little bit at 10 o'clock. And then Jim Thome, the Hall of Famer, the White Sox legend, Indians legend too, but a White Sox legend in this town. Looking forward to talking to Jim.
Right. Special assistant to the front office of the White Sox and also MLB Network contributor will be joining us to talk some baseball, and it's going to be a fun week. I always look forward to the opening of spring training, and we are asking you, and we will discuss the hot topics going into Cubs and White Sox spring training. In other words, what are your top topics going in, Matt Spiegel, as far as Cubs camp and White Sox camp?
Yeah, we're going to throw open the phone lines this whole hour to you. And as Bruce mentioned, we'll talk some about A.J. Hinch, the delayed trade, the MLB Players Association statement where they make it clear they're unhappy with the delayed trade and other things. The perversion of arbitration is the phrase. I can't get out of my head. But yeah, let's throw open the phone
sounds
lines.
Sounds so dirty.
I know, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It was also a really good Yes album, I think. Perversion of arbitration. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We're going to talk to you. As Bruce mentioned, what are the topics that interest you the most in terms of Cubs spring training and White Sox spring training, which begin this week with pitchers and catchers? The topics and items for dissection that interest you the most for the Cubs and Sox, 670-11 via text, 312-644-6767.
By the way, Matt, Inside the Clubhouse brought to you by Max and Benny's, the top deli, restaurant, and bakery in Chicagoland. They invite you to what they call soup season at their Northbrook location. While most call it winter, Max and Benny's invite you to Soup Fest, matzo ball, chicken noodle, crepe lox, sweet and sour cabbage, and a different veggie soup 7 days of the week. Max and Benny's checklist, the best deli, no doubt. The best full restaurant, without question. The best full bakery, you bet, it's sweet. Max and Benny's has a uniquely special new meeting and special event space that can accommodate 50 to 150 people, parties, celebrations, meetings. Max and Benny's is your catering king. Ask for John at maxandbennys.com for great deals. Complete dinners 7 days a week, 4 to 9 p.m. Feature skirt steak, chicken, the freshest fish in Chicagoland, 30 minutes from downtown, 30 minutes from the Wisconsin border. Love you some Max and Benny's in Northbrook, where the corned beef sandwiches are piled as high as a Chicago skyscraper.
Maybe my favorite sports news moment of the week is when like three different White Sox fan friends texted me, hey, is this Arenado to the Sox thing real from the other night? And I went to Twitter, and the tweet I grabbed was yours, Bruce. It said, the Sox have never talked to Colorado about Arenado. Absolutely brazen BS. And I forwarded that to a couple people. It's amazing what can happen out there.
And the guy on... at this Twitter site, we're not going to give it out because it's not worthy of the promotion. Said if it came back yesterday and said Dylan Cease is in the trade, five other White Sox players are going, and if this doesn't happen this weekend, I will take my site down. Well, you know what? I have news for you. It's not going to happen. And he also has an MLB logo on his site. You know how much it costs to have an MLB logo?
He's not paying it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see if that site is actually up. So, again, I don't negate information from anybody anywhere. I follow it. I follow up on it.
Yeah, but it's
not. I did in this circumstance.
But that's not real information, though. It's somebody trying to pull one over and be famous for 10 minutes.
It's a part of the gig these days.
Yes, it is.
I mean, we had it with the White Sox, with Asuna, a couple months ago. He was coming to Chicago, and there was going to be a Monday press conference.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be signed. That was, in January or late December, January? That's a part of the job now. You have to follow that, and you have to respect everything that you read. And unfortunately, when it's not right or it's careless, you spend your time and energy, and people say, you know what? I believe this, and you're wrong. So that's the way it goes. That's social media for you.
This hour is brought to you by Way Back In. Incredible stuff yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, an exclusive from Jared Diamond about the Astros sign-stealing scandal, how it began in the front office as something called Codebreaker. They themselves referred to it as their, quote, dark arts, unquote. And some of the stuff in there, like the one guy who was trying to get a contract extension who said, I think we all know it would be better. He said, I know the secrets that made us a championship team, some of which we definitely feel a lot safer if they were kept in-house. And they did this at home and on the road. It's even more indicting, isn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, and, for the former president general manager to say that he still is unaware of any of this going on, and what kind of BS do you want to believe out there? I mean, for him to separate himself from the rest of this, at least A.J. Hinch gave it his very best yesterday when he talked to Tom Verducci about all of this and the fact that he's contrite, he's apologetic, he says that he failed at what he was supposed to do, and we'll listen to that at some point mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, and it's just... It leads to bigger and broader questions, which we will discuss. 312-644-6767. All right, well, you start us. Most interesting topics, the hottest topics for you coming in with Cubs and Sox this coming week.
It's a no-brainer at Cub Camp, right? 1A, 1B, 1C, Chris Bryant, right? How he reacts to the offseason of him being talked about being dealt, how people talked about him turning down huge amounts of maybe $250 million deals, how he looks at whether or not he's going to be a Cub all year long. All of these things are going to be the hottest topic of spring training. Forget about just Cub camp. I think you're going to see most of the national people in there in the first couple days as well, trying to talk to Chris Bryant about where this stands, because it's such a pivotal player. It's pivotal time for the Cubs organization, talking about a homegrown number one pick, a rookie of the year, an MVP, integral part of the world championship team, being dangled out there possibly to be going and being what might be the first part of a new look to the Chicago Cubs from here on out.
He had an event in Las Vegas the other day. and spoke a little bit there, declined to answer questions about the grievance, about the player's grievance, because in deference to the Chicago media, said, you know what, those guys have wanted to hear it. I think I'll wait till spring training to talk about that, which is kind of a classy thing.
Very
cool.
Well, that's Chris Bryant. He's always been a class guy. He's the type of guy that if he says he'll meet you at State in Madison at 7 a.m. on Wednesday, the 25th of May, he'll be there at 6:45. That is just... You know, I've arranged interviews with Chris for a next day or the day after, and he is the one coming up to me reminding me what the time was. And I mean, it's unprecedented, you know, how much this guy gets it. So I'm not surprised by that, but he takes it a long way for establishing what spring training is going to be like, the inclusion of the Chicago media, more importantly, inclusion for the Chicago fans to get the information straight from the sources they normally get it from.
Mm-hmm. So Bryant will show, and that topic of his level of comfort, whether he's going to be here, how much of a distraction the trade talks have been, what his plans are in 2 years, that kind of stuff. Most people have dismissed the possibility by now of him being traded before opening day. This has been a crazy offseason with the Mookie Betts deal coming so late here in February and still not completed, obviously. But everything else that's gone on, I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that a deal goes down between now and opening day. Do you?
No, I'm in agreement with you. I still think the Atlanta Braves, for some reason, I mean, Philadelphia needs a third baseman. Atlanta needs a third baseman. They both have young third base candidates that are highly thought of. They could be a part of a trade, but those two teams, the Texas Rangers, in need of a big middle of the order bat, if they're going to compete, there's still likely candidates out there. So I don't think this goes away. I don't think Theo Epstein, the man that he is, will back away from the fact saying we always have to listen no matter what, because our goal is to keep the Chicago Cubs viable moving forward and what's best for the team now in the future. Mm. I think that is transparent. I think maybe people get tired of it and it sounds cliche, but I think it's reality of what the situation is right now.
And for the White Sox, hottest topic for the White Sox?
For me, it's how does Ricky Renteria handle a loaded team that's expected to win or come close to winning for the first time since 2008 going into the playoffs, or competing since actually May of 2016 and before that the entire 2012 season. It's a huge undertaking for a guy that was brought in as someone to be able to help teach and be patient with young players as this rebuild started, Matt. And now he's got to put on a different hat and be the manager of a team that's going to compete for a championship.
That's going to be incredibly interesting to watch all year long, right from the get-go, because Ricky's never been in this situation with a team that's expected to win. And now we get a chance to watch and dissect every little thing, and he's welcoming it, he's bringing it on, and we'll see. It's interesting. It's not necessarily where I would have gone for number one in spring training, but it makes...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's and we're going to go right from mine to yours right now. What are your topics going in for both the Cubs and Sox?
Just for the White Sox, let's check out Luis Robert. Here you go. How good can he be? How comfortable and productive can he be right here from day one? What do his defensive abilities mean to some bumpy corner outfielders? And what kind of offensive skill set is he bringing? But to me, the fact that he's there from day one, the same as Eloy last year, that clarity is a beautiful thing. So looking forward to seeing Luis Robert integrate with his teammates immediately.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the most exciting player in spring training camps anywhere this year is Luis Robert.
Pretty high up there.
Five-tool guy being compared to, you know, you hate to say it, but, you know, I think – Eloy Jimenez came out and pretty much said he might be Mike Trout of the future. That's a rare air out there right now, but certainly he has great ability. I think, you know, some of the subtopics I'll get to, but what's your number one Cub camp situation?
You know, we've talked so little about him all of this offseason because of economic questions, CBA, and Bryant rumors and extensions unsigned and stuff, but what is David Ross going to do to get more out of the same group of guys? They believed that what has been missing since Ross left is exactly what he brings, that kind of edgy accountability that comes with some intensity as well. It's not likable grandpa Ross. It's, you know, an accountability, but it's likable. So the likable accountability that he brings, I think they believe that they're going to get more out of some of the very same guys who they've been disappointed by.
That, of the big players on the Cubs, who do you expect to have better seasons? You know, I'm talking about Baez. I'm talking about Rizzo. I'm talking about Bryant. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Contreras. I'm talking about Schwarber. None of them had bad years. There were injury-plagued years that ended Baez's season very early. But if you look at the Rizzo-Bryant numbers, they're scary how similar seasons that they had. Okay, very consistent with each other other than RBI. RBI, you know, was 15 or 16, something like that, more for Rizzo. But everything else, the numbers are consistent all the way through. Contreras, except for that month off with the hamstring, was having a pretty damn good year.
Uh-huh.
Him and Baez were the offensive thrust of that team in the first 2.5-3 months of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So which one of those guys are you expecting to have MVP type season?
Well, it's KB that interests me the most. It's Bryant that interests me the most. But it's also situationally Baez. It's situationally Schwarber. And he started to do this in the second half of the year, started going the opposite way and shortening up with two strikes and things like that. It's those kind of selfless actions from an offense overall that they didn't really go for with as much collective zeal as they need to. And I think Ross is really going to try to get them to see it that way and try to win more than try to get numbers for yourself.
Do you remember your reaction the day Baez went down and they said he was going to be out for an extended period of time? Because to me, that was the end of the Cubs season as far as the main offensive guy, main defensive guy at shortstop, the guy that is the energizer bunny of the Chicago Cubs. To me, I said to myself at that point that making the playoffs was probably going to be a long shot without him. And I put it more on the defense than the offense because he is such a magical player on defense, making plays that other players can't make, that I thought that would be enough for them to probably miss without his energy and defense at that position.
670, the score is where you are. We'll take a break, come back, and talk to you guys. 312-644-6767. Hottest topics that interest you the most for Cubs camp and Sox camp that both get rolling this very week. And we will talk about the Astros sign-stealing scandal. You'll hear from A.J. Hinch and much more this hour on 670, the score. You got Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. It's baseball season, regardless of that snow you see outside. Game on, people! You'll hear from A.J. Hinch later in the hour. But Bruce Levine is on his way out to Arizona in just a couple of days. And the Cubs and Sox will begin their camps with pitchers and catchers this week. And we're talking to the listeners about topics leading into camp.
It is exciting. And, you know, the interesting thing that some of the topic will be about is who leads off for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your leadoff man, Matt Spiegel, for the Cubs and the White Sox, if you have to make out the lineup today?
Right now, as constructed for the Cubs, I just go ahead and put Rizzo there. I do it. He's easily the best at it. He's easily the most comfortable. I know it's awkward seeing a somewhat slogging run producer up there at the top, but he's the guy who adjusts and gets on, has consistently long at-bats, and he's the one guy who has not crumbled when he's been faced with that situation psychologically.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it, and he's, like you said, he's been successful at it, but you're taking such an important guy out of the three spot, you know, arguably not necessarily only your best hitter, but the most functional hitter in situations when it goes 3-1, 3-2, 0-2, 1-2, being able to manipulate, choke up on the bat, hit the ball the other way.
Yep.
But, you know, your point is a great one. I mean, he's the one that hasn't, you know, shrunk when times were big at leading off. It's interesting because, you know, they've been chasing this leadoff guy since Fowler left.
Yes.
They haven't found it yet.
No, they have
not.
What
about for the White Sox?
For the White Sox, at this point, I'm Moncada and Anderson at 1-2 with Robert down at the bottom of the order, yeah, given time and patience to develop. So, I mean, it's another thing. I'd rather have Moncada at 2 or 3. But he seems to me to be the right guy. I'm real interested though in Madrigal. I gotta say, I mean, somebody with that bat control, depending on how quickly he makes this team, it doesn't freak me out to think of him at the top.
Yeah, you know, down the road, a lot of people are looking at maybe Luis Robert as the magical guy that can hit a single, steal a base, score a run, or hit a home run to lead off the game, or just be totally impactful scoring from first on a double, all those things that make great leadoff men.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen at the beginning of the year. It's already been guaranteed that he will be slow rolled into the lineup once he does make the team.
670, the score is where you are. Let's go to the phone lines. This is John of Rolling Meadows. You're first up inside the clubhouse. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing what the White Sox do this year. I'm happy they picked up Encarnacion. There's an RBI bat they can put in the number 4 spot every day. As far as the Cubs go, who knows? Maybe you trade Chris to Atlanta, you get a pitcher that you sorely need in your rotation, and who knows? Maybe somebody they can pick up that can play second, or maybe the outfield that can lead off for you. Because I agree that, they've had a problem finding a permanent leadoff man. And it's hard to do if you're not used to it. Because it seems easy to do, but there's a lot of pressure. That's probably the biggest pressure spot on the team is that leadoff guy, because it's that first at bat of the game.
Thanks, John, for the call. I think they've admitted, Bruce, that they've looked at leadoff kind of dispassionately and tried to think of it as just another spot. But they realize now that much like closer has to be comfortable with the ninth, leadoff has to be comfortable.
Yeah, especially there, with their failure in that spot last year. I mean, I'd been bringing it up to Theo Epstein at his closing comments at the end of each year for the last 3 years. And he said, sure, you know, we'd like to have a natural leadoff man, but it's not our number one priority. He changed that this year. He said it was a top priority for them. But so far, you know, we have plenty of time left, but there's no change. There's nobody that's ideal for the position with the team right now.
Let's go to Ron on the south side on the score. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, not too much longer. Two things looking forward to. Really, to the upcoming season. First of all, Dylan Cease, guys. Dylan Cease was a minor league pitcher of the year. And we saw last year a lot of that potential. Then we saw there were innings when he struggled. We pretty much know what Dallas Keuchel can do, and I think we're starting to get a feel on Giolito. But that's the guy, because this team is going to go pretty far as much as they're pitching. Looking forward to that. And then lastly, the closer, Alex Colome. I think hopefully he'll get a lot more opportunities. They didn't trade him. They held him. For this reason, you know, for close games. So just so much. Luis Robert is definitely obvious. But I would say I'm really looking forward to seeing Dylan Cease, guys, see what he has.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can make a great argument for Cease, but you can also make an even better argument for, can Giolito repeat what he did last year? Is he the ace? Is he the all-star game starter? Is he that guy for the next six or 7 years? And for me, it's Lopez, okay? Because here's a big arm that had a really great, you know, the wins and losses are no indication anymore. A really great 2018-19 games that he threw were quality starts. And then last year he starts out, has a tremendous April and early May, and then fizzles, gives up the most runs in baseball last year. So I think Lopez is a huge key to what the White Sox are going to be able to do, Matt, you know, because starting rotation to me is still everything.
You know, it's nice that Lopez is going to be, you know, he doesn't have to be thought of as a 1, 2, or 3 or even 4 on this staff. Just go ahead and show up. I mean, he's got the stuff to be up there, obviously, but he can just be thought of as a 5, really, at this point.
Ideally, if this team wins 85 to 90 games, Matt, Keuchel should be your number 4. Gio Gonzalez should be your 5, turning it over to Rodon late in the season. If everything works to perfection for the White Sox and there's growth, I believe that makes this team the playoff contender that some people are talking about.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. 1 week from today, the first 2,500 fans for the Chicago Wolves game receive a Wolves reusable tote bag courtesy of Pet Supplies Plus. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Bruce, we talked about Luis Robert and the intrigue and one of the prospects to be watched all around baseball, and he is there on just about every list of who's going to make the most impact. Gavin Lux of the Dodgers is a guy that a lot of people think could be the best rookie out there. And this Brendan McKay of Tampa Bay, who's got a little two-way possibility. We saw him a little bit last year. Some very good young players, again, coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And May with the Dodgers is considered the top pitching prospect. You know, everybody's asked for him in any type of trade scenario, including this last one that's still held up with Betts and, you know, with David Price and the rest of this group still up in the air. But nonetheless, the Dodgers, you know, 7 division winners in a row, there's no reason to think it's not going to be 8, especially if this Betts trade goes through.
Oh, my God. The lineup, just the ridiculousness of those bats to slot in, the options that Dave Roberts has.
Yeah, and you know, with Betts, you get a true 5-tool player that's going to make your defense better, that's going to be somebody on the bases. I mean, he had a subpar season to his 2018 season when he was the MVP, and it was still a great year.
Yeah.
You know, that's how good of a – this is a top 3 player in Major League Baseball. So quite an acquisition for not very much. But, again, that trade is still dangling because of some medicals.
You know, it's that trade as a concept and how the collective bargaining agreement, the competitive balance tax, is acting as a de facto salary cap is really interesting, because when I think about it in total, Bruce, they set this up for themselves. The owners built this in, got this in there to set this up for themselves to protect themselves so they could keep profit margins high and not have to necessarily keep spending and spending and spending, because they could, theoretically. But now you have a top. You have a top, and these big market teams, as we're seeing with the Cubs, have to deal with restrictions you know, different restrictions, but they have to deal with restrictions of their own, just like the lower income teams do.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like the Yankees took the governor off of their spending control.
And right. That's the only one.
Stepped it up. But, you know, Boston and Chicago are right there. You know, Boston, Los Angeles, Dodgers, Cubs, Red Sox, top four teams, revenue producers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Red Sox and Cubs are pretty much on hold because of payrolls that have shot up there and their refusal to go to the next level of penalty and luxury tax. So we're seeing what the commissioners of baseball and owners wanted for a long time, and that is true restraint when it comes to spending in the game and setting us up for a knockdown, drag-out match between the union and the owners after 2021.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly. The Red Sox are spending $50 million in cash this year for players that are not going to play for them. David Price costs them $16 million. Dustin Pedroia still hurt, $13 million. Pablo Sandoval, $5 million. And this name, I forgot they're still paying. Rusney Castillo.
Right.
$14 million. Because they signed that seven-year deal, and he had never played, and it was an absolute
bust.
Did
you name Price in that?
I did, $16 million. And Matty
16.
No,
it's going to be, in the trade, it's going to end up being $40 million.
But that's total.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
No, you're just talking about this season.
Just talking about this season.
Right.
$50 million just for this season, and that's why they had to do this.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The price of winning seems to be astronomical right now as far as if you don't have the young players coming up to fill those roles, you're going to have to take a step backwards. Mm.
This segment is brought to you by Kenosha Subaru. Back with a lot more on Inside the Clubhouse in a matter of moments.
I hope over time it's proven that it wasn't, but I understand the question. It's a fair question, and people are going to have to draw their own conclusions. Unfortunately, we opened that door as a group, and that question I may never be answered. We may never know. And we're going to have to live and move forward and be better in the sport. But unfortunately, no one can really answer that question. I can't pinpoint what advantages or what happened or what exactly would have happened otherwise. But we did it to ourselves.
I think we can figure out what some of the advantages were, AJ Hinch. Knowing whether the pitch is fast or slow is a big help for a ball player.
Knowing even on the road that there was some technology helping the team out.
Woof.
Pretty insidious, so we're going to hear more about that eventually. But, you know, I give Hinch credit for standing up and taking some credit, and at the same time, it's hard for me to hear a manager talk about the fact that players were doing something insidious that was really wrong and that he objected to it, but didn't put a stop to it.
Yeah, he said that a few times in there that he tolerated too much. And we know he hammered the monitor with a bat. But what he didn't do is like hold a team meeting and say, hey, we're going to stop this, guys. And you know what? It really shows you where the manager stands these days, doesn't it?
We talked about that off the air, you know, before the show. The fact that there is not the teeth in that manager's role any longer, where, you know, people take them as seriously as they used to. And I think it was pointed out certainly in the 2017 World Series with some of the decisions that Dave Roberts made.
Mm-hmm.
And how the metrics department was controlling when people were coming in and when people were coming out and how some of those things blew up in their face.
Right.
You know, the Rich Hill situation. So from that perspective, you know, managers, you know, their ability to be in control has certainly eroded. So we'll see how it works going forward. But, you know, with the front offices and metrics departments having so much say-so, you wonder how much respect the managers do get from those players when they hear, no, you shouldn't be doing this any longer.
Well, part of their role, the manager's role, has increasingly become to act as a conduit between the intelligence, the analytics, and some of the information that is provided and the players. And that's, I get it. And you're a partner with the front office. But
so you're a runner.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Here we have a system that originated in the front office and went right to the players and just went around. There were intermediaries, but it wasn't the manager. It went around the manager. And then he's got to decide, am I going to shut this down and piss off my own team?
Well, and then all of a sudden the players become empowered because they believe they're in control yep. of this metric, and it's working.
Yeah, well, and that's
and we're winning because of it. So AJ Hinch, get out of the way. Our bench coach, Mr. Cora, and the rest of us have this whole thing handled.
Yeah, so there's your intermediary, is Alex Cora. And it's like, and what's incredibly clear as we've gone along here is that certain front offices, especially the Astros, obviously, thought of the sign stealing as just another bit of intelligence, just another, yep. just like dissecting pitch sequence from the opposition and using that to try and predict what's coming.
You know, it's always been there, Matt, but not to the extent of electronically controlled as it is now. Mm-hmm. It wasn't real time like it is or was with the Astros. So that's the insidious part, certainly, and the fact that the most important thing of all this is, remember, Matt, don't get caught.
Yeah.
That's it, because it would still be going on if you didn't have Mike Fiers.
Yes, it's true. But this art of pitch recognition, data tracking that began outside of the game, then has found its way into the game, right. and then based on the scruples of guys in suits, they use it or they don't.
That's why Keuchel said at SoxFest, all this technology is fantastic, but if it's going to be fair, everybody should share it all the time. In other words, give us what you got, but let everybody do this form of intelligence, this form of metrics work, this form of cheating, so that it's no longer considered cheating. It's just who does this technical side of baseball best. And the commissioner came out this week and said, we're going to have some long talks here in spring training about eliminating more and more real-time work in these rooms for all the teams.
There
we're
going.
We're going to. There's not going to be real time in the ballpark for teams to be able to cheat.
There should not be. You got to eliminate it as an option for everybody. This is Mark and Cicero and Inside the Clubhouse and 670 The Score. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I look forward to your show every morning because baseball is my favorite sport. But my two comments are. Is the only reason why AJ Hinch is sorry is because they got caught, number one. But if you listen to the interview and they asked him the question, were you guys wearing buzzers in 2019? And AJ Hinch did not give you an answer.
What he said was, I'll defer to the commissioner's report, is what he said.
Exactly. And he knows what's going on in the clubhouse because he smashed the cameras, so he knew they were cheating. I don't trust them. I think they're all lying, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're wearing buzzers.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. I think, Bruce, that like this latest stuff and the way Hinch responded to that stuff, all of the crazy theories, all of the stuff, it's all possible.
Yeah, of course. And again, is this the first time that that electronics have been used by teams to cheat? I doubt it. I think it's been dabbled in before. It's just that the Astros suffered because, A, they got caught, but, B, might be important. They were so good at it.
Yeah, this is John in Oak Lawn on the score on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Just wanted to give a few comments on that Hinch interview. It was absolutely pathetic. He didn't call out any of his individual players.
Yep.
And obviously the last caller talked about the buzzer scheme, which it seemed like was going on. I think MLB and the media doesn't cover it. I think everyone's looking out for one another because it's all one big family. I think you guys are doing it right now. But, Bruce, I think every week you don't really think this is a big deal. You just brushed over that Blackjack McDowell with the Sox cheating like it was nothing. And I think it's on you guys to just bring light to it and keep it going.
Well, I certainly brought it to the attention because he said it. Now, as far as McDowell not being able to tell us if they used it when he was there or not was a big question. He said Tony La Russa brought it in, okay? Tony La Russa was never his manager, okay? So he didn't talk about the managers that he had. He didn't talk about Jeff Torborg. He didn't talk about Gene LeMond. He didn't talk about Terry Bevington. as being a part of this. He just laid it on somebody that he didn't have any particular connection with. So I found that kind of being a little bit, you know, half-baked in itself.
Well, yeah, maybe McDowell thinks that that's where it began before he even got here, because a lot of people think that this Astros thing, it started before Hinch even got there, them as a front office. They were right. Thinking about it before he even arrived.
But the caller is right. I don't think there's anything really new about cheating or using real-time cheating as far as people watching the center field camera in different video rooms and taking that information and directly applying it into a game. I don't think there's anything new about that. Mm. What is new is that the technology was so good and that there were screens that players could use for real-time cheating right next to the Houston dugout, okay? That they were using equipment in other teams' clubhouses and other teams' dugouts. That's taking it to another extent.
Yeah.
Okay. That's taken way beyond. But this cheating with real-time cheating, that's been going on for 40, 50 years. Now, the importance of it right now is that the technology is just too good and Houston got caught.
This is Jeff in Evanston on The Score. Coming up next hour at Inside the Clubhouse, Cole Wright from the Marquee Network and Hall of Famer Jim Thome will be joining us here on the show. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. I just have a silly idea for how they could solve the whole sign-stealing dilemma. And that would be to have a catcher cam in center field that focuses on the catcher and have a monitor in each dugout.
Right.
And this would put the onus on the teams to maybe come up with a more complex way of relaying signs.
You know what? They do it already. Houston was suspect for the last 4 years anyways with other teams. Teams were changing their signals pretty often going in there. Mm. So it's not like these teams were unaware.
Right, but what he's saying is interesting. Instead of trying to take away the video,
it.
Just give it to him. Okay,
I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either, but because here's what I would do. I would kill visual signs, Bruce.
But if you...
The sensor on the catcher's arm that goes to a wristband on the pitcher's wrist.
What about just being able to communicate verbally with the catcher and the pitcher?
Sure. Is it something like that? The death of visual signs. You don't deserve the kind of above-board sign-stealing because you've gone to below-the-board sign-stealing often.
Let them mic up. Let them have their own particular language when they speak, and that's it. You know, it's fine with me. You want to take technology all the way? Let it go all the way. You know, I'm all for it.
670 The Score is where you are. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, everybody. Cole Wright next from Marquee. Let's talk to him about this gig, about the network, about the Cubs, and then Jim Thome at 10:20. All of that next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.